But at Ladies' Aid this time, I thought we'd do a little something different to the Christian Hall of Fame, as it's sometimes called, Hebrews chapter 11. And I don't think we'll have time to read through every verse in this chapter. What I want us to do is to try to answer, fill in the blanks on the sheet that I gave you. And if there's a blank that we don't know, then we'll find the answer in one of the verses. Okay, and we'll kind of go through that way, and I'll make comments. You can make comments along the way about Hebrews chapter 11. It is helpful for us, whenever we go through life, to realize that we're not the only ones to ever face any particular situation that we might be struggling with as we try to live the Christian life and have true faith in God. And the Old Testament, well, the Bible itself, but especially the Old Testament, is given to us for many reasons, and one of them is to give example after example of Christians who have gone on before and lived in faith in God. And Hebrews 11 is a wonderful summary of all these things that all these Christians have done through the years. And it's a great encouragement to us, no matter where we are tonight, to realize and remember these examples. And so first I want to read really just the first couple of verses of Hebrews 11, and then we'll see if we can fill in the gaps of the blanks. And at the end, we have a few final comments. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I know you all remember those words. So let's go on to read through our little study sheet here. And let's see, let's start in the back. Danielle, why don't you start reading and see if you can give me the answer. What do you think? Any guess? By faith, somebody offered a better sacrifice than his brother Cain. And there's no shame in Abel, okay. Abel offered a better sacrifice than his brother Cain. You remember that? Where in the Bible do you go to read that? Genesis. Very early in Genesis, all right? Very early in Genesis, around chapter 4, I believe. And then it goes on to say, even though Cain murdered Abel, Abel's faith in God, because he had faith in God, means that he being dead, what? Still speaks. Isn't that interesting? He being dead still speaks. We're talking about him tonight, aren't we? How many other Christians live throughout all the centuries, but we don't know their names? We don't talk about them. There's lots of great things that happened in their life that we could learn from, that we could talk about. But the only ones that we do know about are those that are recorded in God's Word, and we can still talk about it, even though we never met Abel. And a lot of these people, their names are hard to pronounce. They're from a very different culture, very different world. They never, you know, picked up a cell phone or got in an automobile, and yet we can have a conversation with them because we have the same faith in the same God. They, being dead, because they had faith, still speak to us. Remarkable fact. We shouldn't miss that reality. Well, let's go on then. By faith, Enoch did not see what?
Death.
Anybody else you remember who never died? Elijah. Yes, Elijah. Elijah and Enoch. Interesting. Jesus died, right? Now, we needed that death because that was perhaps a unique death. You almost wonder if Jesus would have died if he wasn't carrying our sins, if he would have had to die, since he was perfect. He never would have had to die, would he? Adam never would have died if he would have obeyed God in the Garden of Eden. There was no death. Death is only the result of sin. Jesus never would have died. And Enoch by faith, and Elijah by faith, by God's grace, a little picture here of those with faith in Christ. Remember what Jesus said? I am the resurrection and the life. Anybody remember the rest of it, how it goes in John 11? Well, that's John 14:6, yep. Or Yeah. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Very good. We're getting there. We're getting. Those are the other. There's a lot of good I am statements. I almost talked about that tonight, so you throw me off here. Yes. Enoch, before he went to heaven, what does it say? He pleased God. Enoch pleased God by his faith. That's an interesting little phrase. Have you ever thought of the fact that when you have true faith in God, that actually you're pleasing God? That's what the Bible says. Enoch pleased God by his faith. My children wonder, you know, how can they ever please God? Is there naughty a lot of times, has to get disciplined, and we say, well, God is sad with you. We're sad with you as your parents, and God is sad with you. How can we make God happy? How can we please Him? That's a good question we need to ask. And the Bible says here, at least in Enoch's case, his faith pleased God. And in fact, it goes on to say, if you see the rest of the verse and also my little study sheet, without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please God. So driving home the point even further, with faith, it certainly is possible to please God. With faith, you most definitely please God. But without faith, you most definitely do not please God. Any thoughts or questions or comments about that? It's maybe a different thought or a different way of looking at it than we normally do. Yes, Judy? Yes.
My thought about it is that that's why we say that only Christians can do good works, even though by the world view, many people do good works and all the philanthropy and the whatever, but in the eyes of God, it's not a good work because that person is a Christian.
Yes, you know, that's a great application. I hadn't thought of this. Yes. Good works are defined by God and only can come from a heart of faith. The same thing, you know, somebody opening the door for somebody or somebody giving some money to a hospital. Two people can give the same amount. But if the one is a Christian, that's a good work. If the one is a non-Christian, that is not a good work. It does not please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The one is done unto God's glory, the other is done unto man's glory. Yeah, very good. Hundreds and hundreds of ways you can think about these same old stories and ways to apply them. What's interesting about Hebrews 11 is it pulls together the whole Bible in one chapter, and sometimes it tells us things that we never knew about when we first read about these people. And it talks about them in a way that we never would have known. We wouldn't have this chapter. And this concept of Enoch's faith pleasing God in the Old Testament just says, and it's quoted there in verse 5, you know, Enoch was walking out one day and then they didn't find him. And God took him. That's it. Doesn't say anything about his faith, but his faith pleasing God. It's just, there was a day when he was and there's a day when he was not. Period. Next guy. Not much in the Bible about Enoch in the Old Testament. But you learn the explanation and the interpretation of that from God's perspective here in Hebrews chapter 11. All right, well, let's go on. The next couple of blanks, I bet you can fill these in. Just yell them out if you know them. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. All right, so that he could survive the flood. And by his obedience to God, the world who did not have faith was condemned. Yes, that's what it says. Condemned. But he is described here, actually not here, but in the book of Jude, as a preacher of righteousness. And imagine, I can't remember offhand how many years. Anybody remember how long it took to build the ark? I thought it was around 100 years or 70 or somewhere in there. It was certainly a long time. And everybody was saying, it had never rained before. Okay, the rain came up from the ground in forms of dew or mist, but it had never rained before. So what is he thinking? Okay, and every day for a whole generation, 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years, more than a generation, a couple generations. Well, in those days, one generation, because they lived so long, right? 900 years or so. He had this opportunity to tell everyone about the judgment that was coming, but if you trusted in the God who created you, you could get in the boat with me and be saved. But only if you get in this one boat. There's only one way out. Kind of like Jesus. Only one way out of that condemnation that is to come. And you must follow Him and believe in Him. And we have that opportunity every day to say that while we are here. That's why the world doesn't like us when we talk about our faith to others. Because just you and I talking about our faith and living it out condemns them. You don't have to go to them and say, you're going to hell. There might be times in some cases where that might be the right thing to do, okay? But you don't even have to outright say it. Just the fact that you're a Christian and that you're living your life differently condemns them. Because they know deep down they're not right with God. And you've got something they don't. You've got a comfort in life and in death. And they don't. They might think they do, but they're faking it. And they'll find out sooner or later that whatever they think is going to help them is going to really fail them. You're on the winning side, the only side, if you have faith in God. All right, well, let's go on. By faith, Abraham obeyed God's promises and went out, not knowing where he was going, right? And he, what? Waited for the city whose builder and maker is God. I see, I told you you could do this even if you didn't have the Bible in front of you. Some of these verses are familiar. He waited for the city whose builder and maker is God. And by faith, his wife Sarah bore a child, or a son, of course, when she was too old, because she decided that God was always faithful to his promises. Okay? She had faith in the God who is faithful. These Hall of Fame Christians died in faith, but did not receive the promise of salvation and eternal rest in their lifetime. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They desire not an earthly home, but a better one. What? A heaven or heavenly country. Yes. Summarizing a few verses on to page or verse 16. All right. They desire not an earthly one, but a better one, a heavenly country. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. God doesn't mind being called the God of the Christian because we give Him glory and we trust in Him. We acknowledge that we're not all together. Okay, so if you don't feel like you're not all together tonight, like you're here and there and pulled apart in 20 different directions, that's okay. You are a stranger and a pilgrim here on earth. But you have faith in God, and God is not ashamed to be called your God. Your heart and life is in His hands. By faith, then, Abraham offered up Isaac to be killed as a sacrifice, concluding that God was able to raise him from the dead. Right? Raise him from the dead. You remember that story, I'm sure. Remarkable that Abraham would offer his own son. Of course, a perfect picture of Christ, of God, the Father, offering his own beloved son on the cross for us. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents who disobeyed the Pharaoh but were not afraid. Yes, summarizing a few verses here and there, okay. But they were not afraid of his commands since they had faith in God. Remember, all the young children were to be slaughtered, but his parents disobeyed the Pharaoh and they were not afraid of his commands because they had faith in a greater king, God. By faith, Moses, when he became a teenager and left his parents' house, he chose to suffer affliction. All right? Think of that. Choosing. I'll have affliction. That's what I want in my life. Right? Rather, well, with the people of God, rather than to enjoy what? the passing pleasures of sin. Now that's a verse that certainly all young people need to read, but all of us need to read. You sit back and you reflect, you think, what have I done with my life or not done with my life? And you know, look at those people over there, and they lived however they wanted, and look at what they got parked in their driveway and what they have in their bank account and all these things. And it's so easy as a Christian sometimes to envy others who took a different path. But then to remember Moses, who had it all guaranteed to him as a member of the royal family, and he gave it up, knowing what it meant to give it up, because he would rather have the shame of the world but the riches of God rather than the riches of the world, which are passing, and the shame and the condemnation of his Creator and his God. And so we look to that reward. Alright, well, we can flip over the other side. Any comments or thoughts on that or anything else before we finish up these last couple examples? Alright, oh, I think I kind of already said that. Moses thought that being made fun of because he followed Christ was greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And then by faith Israel passed through the Red Sea. But the Egyptians were drowned by God. And the children in Bible school this week love to sing. We have two different songs about that. The drowning of the Egyptians in the bottom of the Red Sea. Still a remarkable, amazing miracle that God performed that we can sing about and praise God for. By faith then also the walls of Jericho fell after Israel encircled them 7 days, all right? 7 days, a whole week. They had to wait week, day after day after day, doing the same thing, obeying God. Didn't take long to march around the city, about a half hour or so, maybe an hour by the time you get out of camp, go over there, and then come back. And the whole rest of the day, nothing to do but wait till the next day. They had to stay in faith in God the whole time. Well, then the author of Hebrews 11 runs out of room and he runs out of time to tell about all the Christians who really have a place in this Christian Hall of Fame. And so he starts in verse 32 and following to start summarizing their lives. And he stops giving names of specific people for the most part. And he starts saying that by their faith they did all sorts of things. So I have those there in a list, a real quick list, and see if you can help me out here. By their faith they subdued kingdoms. They worked. Yep. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lions. Think of Daniel, right? Quenched the violence of fire. Of Daniel's friends. And then what? The next word. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. Remember a verse in the New Testament. How does it go? That sounds kind of like that. I think it's in 1 Corinthians. Or Philippians. No, Philippians. I think it's... it might be in both. I'm thinking the one... When we are weak, then we are strong, right? In Christ, we are always strong. When we are weak. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, talking about his weakness, the thorn he has in the flesh. But by that weakness, the strength is being shown, because obviously he can do his job as an apostle, not by his own strength, but by faith in God. Alright, then back to Hebrews 11. These saints also, not only out of weakness, were made strong, but they became valiant in battle, alright? And they turned to flight the armies of the enemies, alright? Put enemies there rather than, maybe your verse says aliens. It's not that they're really, that means strangers, non-Jews, okay? For the kids, I didn't want them confused, so I put the word enemies on your sheet. Women received their dead raised to life again, right? Think of some of the widows that some of those mentioned Elijah and Elisha brought many people back from the dead in his ministry as a picture of Christ who had come. Other Christians experienced many trials. It wasn't always nice, you know, lions not eating us today. Boy, that was a good day to be a Christian. But other Christians experienced many trials for their faith. Some were tortured. All right? Not a happy thought. They did not accept deliverance, though, so that they might obtain a better resurrection than just a few more hours of life on this earth. They would rather have resurrection life for eternity. Others had trial of mockings, okay, people mocking you and ridiculing you, and scourgings or beatings, and of chains and imprisonments. They were, stoned, all right, that's being put to death by stoning, or today would be probably electrical chair or lethal injection. They were stoned. They were also sawn in two. Most likely the prophet Isaiah was cut in half. That was his end. Tough to be a prophet in the Old Testament. Jeremiah was also not liked by his congregation in that way. When Israel rejected God that far, they did such things. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about with the clothes of poverty. Right? Remember, the clothing of a lot of these prophets was rough, a garment, goat-haired clothing. John the Baptist looked that way also. And of these Christians, it says, the world was not worthy. Isn't that interesting? The world is not worthy to have a Christian among them. All right? And we're not supposed to get proud about it, but by God's grace, when we have faith in Him, it's an amazing thought that the world isn't worthy to have us live among them. Because we are visible testimonies of God's grace, of those who have been saved, of those who they reject. And the world is not worthy to have us. Well, now that you have all these answers, all right, we'll go to the bottom real quick. Ignore that little sentence there. It's for something else. We'll go to the bottom and see if we can understand this Christian Hall of Fame. What made these Christians so great? What do you think? Faith, yes. It was their faith, not their works. The other option would be works, yes. It was their faith, not their works. Notice that again and again and again. It does not. It says things that they did, that they, in their humanity, had to respond to God. They couldn't just sit there and say, oh, I'll let God take care of things. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to believe. I don't have to obey today. All right, Moses had to get off his backside and get out there and walk away from Egypt. All right. But what stands out about him was that he did that by faith, and that's why almost every verse in this chapter starts with those words, by faith. These Christians were great because of their faith, not their works. It's important because sometimes Christians can be tempted to think about this chapter in terms of Christian good works rather than Christian faith. In other words, Hebrews 11 is not a hall of fame like the halls of fame in our world today. The football hall of fame, baseball hall of fame, any kind of hall of fame. In those places, the glory always goes to the athlete, to the coach, to the team and the franchise that won the most times in a certain period. But Hebrews is really not a hall of fame, but a hall of faith. A hall of faith. Because all the glory goes to God alone, with the glory going to God alone. And that should also be the testimony, that's the challenge of this book of the Bible, is that that is to be our testimony, that we are to leave to our children and grandchildren a legacy of faith, that we are those who the world was not worthy of, and even when we were shamed and ridiculed by them, we did not fight back. But we willingly endured the shame for the sake of the cross, pressing forward following Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, remembering his sufferings for us. Notice, that's probably the best way to end our time, is Hebrews 12, the first three verses. If you have your Bible, why don't you read that with me? We'll read it all together out loud. Hebrews 12 at verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. All right. Well, why don't we close our time by singing hymn number 533. And we'll sing the first two verses of 533.